This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
Put all our pride away, always thank Allah when we pray. You know we shouldn't be full of ourselves when we should be full of humility.
La, la, this la, is la, la, the Muslim ID.
La, 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 la. You know we shouldn't fool ourselves. Allah has given so much to you and me. La, 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 la,
with your host, Suhaib As-Sayyid.
Shouldn't be full of ourselves when we should be full of humility.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and welcome to the Muslim ID. I'm your host, Suhaib As-Sayyid. All praise is due to Allah, the creator, cherisher, and sustainer of the universe. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, glory be to him. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his last and final messenger. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Allah be upon him, his companions, and those who follow his path until the day of judgment. We continue today our journey to the Muslim ID. Our most recent station on our journey was the station of Ukhuwa, or brotherhood. Today we move on to make another stop on our journey to the Muslim ID, our station Al-Amru bil-Ma'ruf wa-Nahyu anil-Munkar, or enjoining good and forbidding evil. The characteristic we're looking at today is made up of several aspects that must be understood individually in order for the collective trait to be properly understood. Al-Amr means to enjoin. In other words, it means to command or encourage others to do something. Its antonym is an-Nahy, which means forbidding or discouraging someone from doing something. The crux of our topic lies in al-ma'ruf and al-munkar. Al-ma'ruf can be loosely used to refer to anything that is considered good. It linguistically refers to anything that the human being naturally and instinctively finds to be good. Exemplifying this meaning in the Quranic usage of terms, Allah says about the way one should deal with his or her parents, bear them company in this life with goodness and consideration. Al-Munkar, on the other hand, is used to refer to anything that is considered evil. Any act that qualifies as an act of disobedience to Allah or to the Prophet, peace be upon him, would fall in this category. The root of the word can also be used to mean denial or refusal to accept something. Can also refer to ungratefulness, when a person denies the many blessings of Allah upon him. Furthermore, it can mean not having knowledge about something. In this regard, Allah says in the Quran, "He felt some mistrust of them and conceived a fear of them," speaking about Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, when the angels came to him. In essence, Al-Ma'ruf refers to all what Allah has enjoined of acts of obedience, including his worship, the means of dealing with other people, and all what has been encouraged of actions. Al-Munkar, however, refers to all what Allah has forbidden of acts of disobedience to him, whether it be in our personal relationship with him or in our interactions with others. Collectively then, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil means that you as an individual live as a guiding post for others. You should be the shining beam in the tunnel of darkness that directs others to success and away from failure. It means helping others to quell their desires and lusts that may sidetrack them from the straight path. It means presenting everything good in the best of manners so that it may come across as appealing, while portraying everything evil as such so that the individual may naturally come to despise it. Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is perhaps one of the most vital traits that a believer should carry at all times. In countless verses of the Quran, as well as countless hadith or sayings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, clear indications are made that the believer has a responsibility to do so. And many scholars have attested to the importance of this trait. The great scholar An-Nawawi spoke at great length about this trait. He said that unfortunately, most people have forgotten their duty to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. The deviation from this important trait has reached a serious point that the punishment of Allah may befall both the righteous and the unrighteous, as evil has spread greatly. An-Nawawi then adds that when you embark on enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, you must be sincere in your intention, seeking nothing but the pleasure of Allah. You must also fear none but Allah, as there will undoubtedly be many individuals who will not be pleased with what you say. You must know that your reward for carrying out this responsibility is proportional to the amount of effort you put forth. The greater your struggle, the greater your reward. Another vital issue to keep in mind is that enjoining the good and forbidding the evil goes for everyone, even the closest and dearest of individuals to you. In fact, you should feel a greater responsibility towards someone whom you care about, as your friendship and love carries with it responsibilities and duties, amongst which is enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. In reality, the true friend is the one who is most concerned about your destiny in the hereafter, even if it means that some of your pleasures in this life will be curbed. And an enemy is the one who strives to ruin your hereafter by encouraging you to engage in forbidden acts, even if it appears that you make some superficial gains in this life. And as you go about enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, keep in mind that every human being has feelings. Just because you're required to guide to righteousness and discourage disobedience doesn't mean that you should do so in any way, even if it leads to the embarrassment of the other party. In fact, the great scholar Imam Shafi'i once said, "Whoever reminds and corrects his brother in faith privately, he has indeed advised him correctly. And whoever reminds and corrects his brother in faith publicly, he has indeed embarrassed him and shamed him." Scholars have said that the duty to enjoin good and forbid evil can become a duty at two levels. At the first level, the duty falls upon all believers. This would be the case when it comes to matters at the public level, in which case many individuals have the opportunity to act, and the responsibility is collective. If a sufficient number of people take the duty upon themselves and enjoin the good and forbid the evil, the responsibility of the rest of the people no longer remains. However, if no one or an insufficient number of people takes care of the duty, then everyone shares in the responsibility. At the second level, the duty falls upon the shoulders of a specific individual. This would be the case when it comes to private matters or issues that only involve a very small number of individuals. For example, included in this category would be family issues that only the family is aware of and can handle. In this case, the responsibility to enjoin the good and forbid the evil is individual. If the individual upon whom the responsibility falls does not carry it out, he will be held accountable for his shortcoming, as none other than him can take care of it. You're listening to the Muslim ID on IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. When we come back, we'll take a look at some examples of how enjoining the good and forbidding the evil should always be a part of our lives as we seek to understand the Muslim ID. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Join us for Moments in History with your host, Ala Salem, every Thursday at 2 p.m. here on IBN.
Put all our pride away. always find a gentle word to say. You know we shouldn't fool ourselves. Allah.
Welcome back to the Muslim ID on IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Zuhayb Sayyid. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was the ultimate example of the responsible individual, constantly enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. In fact, as the messenger of Allah and the role model for all of humanity, the Prophet, peace be upon him, never allowed any evil or act of disobedience to pass by him without speaking out against it. And he also never allowed any act of righteousness and goodness without directing us towards it. And the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, learned from his example. A man once entered the Kaaba, the holy mosque in Mecca, and found the companion Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him, sitting with a group of people surrounding him. Abdullah said, "We were once traveling with the Prophet, peace be upon him, when we stopped to rest for some time. Everyone was taking care of his needs, when suddenly we heard someone call out that the Prophet, peace be upon him, wanted us to gather and to listen to him. When we gathered, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, there was no messenger sent before me except that he was required to guide his people to the best of what he knows and to warn them against the worst of what he knows. Indeed, the best of this nation is in its beginning, and the worst of it will be at the end of times when there will be many trials and tribulations." In order to bring our attention to the importance of enjoining good and forbidding evil, the Prophet, peace be upon him, used a very powerful allegory. In a saying narrated by An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "The example of the person who stands firmly on the commandments of Allah and the one who transgresses is like the example of a group of people who went out to the sea on a ship. There were some who happened to be on the upper deck and others who were on the lower level. Those at the bottom, whenever they needed to drink water, would walk to the top deck and pass by those who were staying on the top. They then thought to themselves, why don't we make a hole in our part of the ship and get water from here directly, rather than walking to the upper deck each time and bothering the people on top?" The Prophet, peace be upon him, then said, "If the people on the top allow them to do whatever they want, they will all be destroyed. And if they prohibit them, they will all survive." In this very powerful image that the Prophet, peace be upon him, draws our attention to, he makes us realize several things. First, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is not a voluntary action, but rather a mandatory responsibility that everyone must carry. Second, you must enjoin good and forbid evil, because the consequences will not only affect the person whom you're attempting to direct and guide, but will also affect you. In this example, if the people on top of the ship turn their backs on the responsibility to forbid evil, they will sink along with those on the bottom. The Prophet, peace be upon him, once chose a man to collect the charity from people and bring it to him so that it may be distributed amongst the poor. When the man had collected all the charity, he went to the Prophet, peace be upon him, to give it to him. As the man gave the charity to the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, "This is what I have collected for you of charity, and this is something that was given to me as a gift." In other words, while the man was collecting the charity, someone had given him something as a gift. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, took the gift from the man, adding it to the charity money and saying to him, "Had you sat at home and not collected this charity, would you have received this gift?" What the Prophet, peace be upon him, was saying to the man is that the only reason you received this gift is because you are collecting the charity. In reality, then, the gift is not for you because you received it as a bribe. Later that day, the Prophet, peace be upon him, addressed his companions. He said, "Indeed, I appoint some of you to take care of some matters that Allah has ordered me to take care of. Then some of you come to me and say, 'This is for you, and this is a gift that I have been given.' Why then does such a person not sit at home and see if such a gift will come to him? By Allah, none of you shall take such a thing except that Allah will make him on the hereafter come carrying it while making the sound of a camel, cow, or sheep. From this example, we find many important lessons. First of all, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was not one to overlook any mistakes that needed to be corrected. As a guide to humanity, he always enjoined good and forbade evil. Second, the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not publicly humiliate the man by mentioning his name to his companions. Rather, he simply referred to the issue in general terms, as if just giving an example. In this way, the man's feelings were not hurt, and the mistake was corrected, both in this man's actions and in the actions of any other individuals who may have done the same without the knowledge of the Prophet, peace be upon him. When the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the righteous people after them, realized the importance of enjoining good and forbidding evil, they never hesitated to do so. And they were always willing to accept criticism and to correct their actions. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, may Allah be pleased with him, had become caliph. One day he entered a mosque in Damascus, Syria, and sat down. One of the righteous people at his time called out to him and said, "O Muawiyah, don't think that the caliphate is the collection of money and its distribution. Indeed, the caliphate is to act according to the truth, to speak with justice, and to guide people to the straight path. O Muawiyah, don't dare be unjust against any tribe, lest your injustice take over your justice." Sufyan al-Thawri was one of the great scholars of Islam. During one season of the Hajj, or pilgrimage to Mecca, he entered upon the Caliph, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. The Caliph thought that Sufyan was coming to ask for something that he needed. He said to him, "Tell me what you need." Sufyan looked at the Caliph and said, "Fear Allah, for you have transgressed and committed much injustice." The Caliph lowered his head for a moment. He then raised his head and said, "Tell me what you need." Sufyan replied, "You only reached this position of power and authority because of the struggle that the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, went through. Yet, you have left their children and descendants to die of hunger. Fear Allah and give them what is rightfully theirs." Once again, Al-Mansur lowered his head for a moment. He then raised it and said for the third time, "Tell me what you need." Sufyan responded, "The Caliph, Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, once performed pilgrimage and asked his treasurer, 'How much did you spend on the expenses of the trip?' His treasurer responded, 'A few silver coins.' Sufyan then turned to the Caliph al-Mansur and said, 'And here I see that you have spent a wealth of money that mountains cannot bear to carry.'" That was the degree to which the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, as well as the righteous people after them, valued the importance of enjoining good and forbidding evil. Because of their courage and steadfastness, they did not hesitate, even in the face of the most powerful person, to speak the truth. You're listening to the Muslim ID on IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, you can always listen to IBN on the internet at www.ibn.net every weekday from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, that's www.ibn.net. IBN, the voice of American Muslims.
Put all our pride away. Always thank Allah when we pray. You know we shouldn't be full of ourselves when we...
Welcome back to the Muslim ID on IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Suhaib Al-Sayyid. In countless verses of the Quran, Allah, glory be to him, commands us to enjoin good and forbid evil. In one such verse, he says, "Let there arise out of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right, and forbidding what is wrong. They are the ones to attain success. In another verse, Allah describes the believers as the best of people. But He sets conditions for the status of best nation to become a reality. He says, "You are the best of nations brought out for mankind, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah." Thus, without enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, and believing in Allah, no nation can claim to be the best of nations. These are the criteria that Allah has set down for such a nation. Furthermore, the Prophet, peace be upon him, explained to us that nations before us were destroyed by Allah simply because they turned their backs against the duty to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. He said, "The children of Israel were first hit by misery when they did not enjoin the good and forbid the evil. A man would meet another man and see him doing something wrong. He would say to him, 'Fear Allah, it's not permissible for you to do what you're doing.' The next day, the man would meet the same person and find him doing the same thing. But that would not prevent him from sitting with him, eating with him, and drinking with him. As such, Allah struck their hearts against one another." The Prophet, peace be upon him, recited some verses and then said, "By Allah, you shall enjoin the good and forbid the evil, and you shall stand up to the transgressor and force him to return to the truth and to justice." In another saying narrated by Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet, peace be upon him, warned us against the consequences of not enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. He said, "By He in whose hand my soul lies, you shall enjoin the good and forbid the evil, or it shall be that Allah will send upon you a severe punishment, whereby you shall call upon Him and supplicate to Him, but He does not respond to you." The Prophet, peace be upon him, also encouraged us to enjoin good and forbid evil. In a saying narrated by Abu Dharr, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Your smile to your brother is a charity. Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is a charity." In another saying narrated by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Every Muslim must give in charity." The companions asked him, "What if he doesn't have anything to give from?" Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "He should work to earn money and be able to give in charity." They asked, "What if he cannot work? What should he do?" The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "He should help a person in need." They said, "What if he cannot?" The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "He should enjoin the good." The companions said, "What if he cannot do that?" The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "He should hold back and restrain his evil, and that is a charity for him." When it comes to changing something wrong that you see, the Prophet, peace be upon him, explained to us that there are three levels at which the believer can change the evil. In a saying narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudari, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Whoever sees something wrong, let him change it with his hand. If he's unable to do so, let him change it with his tongue. If he's unable to do so, let him change it with his heart, and that is the weakest of faith." From these directions, we must realize several things. First of all, different types of evil require different approaches to change them and to correct them. You can't change everything with your hands at all times. Secondly, the responsibility to change the evil never falls from your shoulders, even if you are powerless. That's not to say that you're charged with something above your capacity. What it means is that even if you cannot speak out to change something that is wrong, the least you can do is to loathe it and hate it with your heart and wish that it changes. We also learn another very important lesson from this saying. Changing something must come with the necessary authority to be able to change it. the ability that the Prophet, peace be upon him, is referring to in the saying is not necessarily the physical and timely ability. In other words, just because you have access to change something with your hand doesn't mean that you have the authority to do so. Otherwise, there would be chaos and disorder, and everyone would take things into his own hands. For example, when Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, found his people worshipping the idols, he began by arguing with them, trying to convince them that their worship was in vain. When they refused to accept the call to worship Allah alone, he had both the power and the authority to destroy the idols and render them to pieces. Though the people were angered and plotted to burn him in the fire, Allah protected them from their plans. Yet when the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the small number of believers were living in Mecca under persecution, they witnessed on a daily basis the idolaters in their vain worship of the idols. The Prophet, peace be upon him, and his few followers had the physical ability to go ahead and destroy the idols. Yet they had not been given the authority to go ahead and do so at that point. At that point, all they could do, beyond loathing the idol worship, was to argue and discuss with the people, attempting to convince them that what they were doing was wrong. Later, when victory was for the believers, and they returned from Medina to Mecca, they had the power and the authority to destroy the idols, and they did so at the direction of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Indeed, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is an important trait for the believer. It's a sign of complete faith in Allah. It reinforces good deeds and discourages bad deeds. It creates an atmosphere that encourages obedience to Allah and good manners. It's a means for success in this life and in the hereafter. And it's a vital trait on the path to the Muslim ID. This was yet another stop on our journey to the Muslim ID. A brief tour through the world of Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil-Munkar, or enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Before we continue and leave this station, let us all learn the manners of doing so, and strive our best to encourage others to perform acts of righteousness, and to discourage others from even getting close to prohibitions. Please join me every Wednesday for a new stop on our journey to the Muslim ID, here on IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. If you have any questions or comments about the Muslim ID, feel free to email me at muslimid@ibn.net. Until next time, I'm Suhaib al-Sayyid. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Put all our pride away. Always find a gentle word to say. You know we shouldn't fool ourselves. Allah has given so much to you and me. Put all our pride away. Always thank Allah when we pray. You know we shouldn't be full of ourselves when we should be full of humility.
Whoa. This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
Do you enjoy IBN's programs? Do you think it's important for us to be on the air? Support IBN by making a pledge today, $1 a day, to the Islamic Media Foundation. Help IBN programs to continue by making your monthly contribution today. Pledge $1 a day online at www.ibn.net.